Fresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in central Brevard County, Florida, Cocoa, Florida, to be exact. My name is Bob Arthurs, Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and I hope that you are completely recovered from your turkey hangover and all of your shopping escapades. For those of you out there who need your fix of shopping therapy, I pray that you got that. And then, so I think there was, what, Small Business Saturday and Cyber Monday and all sorts of that. All I know is that today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. So, like I said, I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, coming up on 26 years there at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we are glad that you have taken the opportunity to tune in to 91.5 FM here today, or WWBC 1510 AM, to listen to the Word of God. We are going to be discussing today the will of God. Our series that we're going through is we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we are right now dealing with the Lord's Prayer, and specifically that segment of the Lord's will, or of the Lord's Prayer, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I was in a conversation with someone a couple of weeks ago, and they said, when I told them what I was teaching on the radio, they said, you know, that is the number one question I get asked, is what is the will of God for my life? And so we're going to look at that today. Thank God we have a great example. You know, there's that old saying, no one is ever completely worthless. They can always serve as a bad example. And I've seen some bad examples before, but today we're going to be looking at Jesus, who is not a bad example. He is the perfect example of how we are to embrace the will of God for our life. And so with that being said, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, or make a note of Hebrews chapter 10. That's where we're going to be reading today. Hebrews is that book in the Bible that describes that it's the men who make the coffee. Sorry, that's a groaner. It's way too early of a morning for groaner jokes. And if it doesn't come across as funny, I apologize. It was there. I took it. I gave it a shot. And anyway, so we're going to be in the book of Hebrews today, chapter 10. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins, but in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." I was having a conversation with someone not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and I don't really remember who it was right now, but they were talking, they knew these people and they were Christians, but they still believed in some of the animal sacrifices. And it's like, wow, that's pretty different. That's pretty different. Don't know that much about them. I want you to know that you have already had a perfect sacrifice made on your behalf, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood doesn't just cover your sins, it washes them away. Moving on to verse number 5. "Therefore, when he," Jesus, "came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come, In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. And so I want to look at this passage today because Jesus says that the reason for his being was to do the will of God. We talked on yesterday's program out of Revelation chapter 4 and how it is God's will for us to exist for his purpose. Jesus says the same thing. It's prophetically stated, and then it is repeated here in Hebrews as the purpose that Jesus came. He came to do the will of God. It was his reason for being. It's our reason for being. I don't know if you ever get sidetracked or not, and you miss your focus. You know, you go into a room and you know that you're there for a specific reason, but when you get in there, you forget what you were about and you get sidetracked doing other things. And it's not until later that you remember, oh yeah, that was the purpose that I went into that room in the first place. And then you got to go back in there to do your will. Well, too many times we get distracted. Jesus never did. You see, we get distracted for our purpose, for someone else's purpose. We take things that are God's top priority for us, and we move those lower down the scale and move things that are supposed to be a much lower priority up. We get things all messed up in the order and the sequence of things, and then we wonder why we're so frustrated in life. Jesus said, God, behold, I have come to do your will. You see, in verse 5 and 6, it talks about the inadequacies of the sacrifices that had been offered up until the time of Jesus. And then in verse number 7, it is Jesus' verbal response to the inadequacies that were their present reality. And he says, Father, look here, behold, I want you to see that where men have failed, I am going to succeed. And the shortcomings of the sacrifices that have been made up until now are no longer going to be noticed, because I'm going to provide the perfect sacrifice. Behold, it's written about me in the book. And I'm here to declare that I have come to do your will. What if I told you that God's already numbered your days? He knows what he has created for your purpose and my purpose here in this November of 2018. He knows the purpose. And every day we have the opportunity, when our eyes open and say, you know what? Today is my day. It is my opportunity to do the things that God wrote about for me to do thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, before the earth was ever formed, when he was looking to form November the 27th, 2018, and he said, I need Bob Arthur's alive at that point in time. I need him to do my will. And today I get to say, God, that's the reason I'm here. I am here in this radio studio right now because I believe it is the will of God for me to speak into your life. Let's quit running from the will of God and let's embrace the will of God. It makes a huge difference. Why are you here? I'm here to do the will of God. What a difference. I mean, that can give us a different mindset at our job. What if we realized we weren't just there for a paycheck, we were there for divine assignment? Wouldn't that make a difference? You know, I deal with a lot of different people, and I will tell you that many times we shortchange ourselves when it comes to the gifts of God that He has placed around us in the wisdom and the grace that is available to us through the other members of the body of Christ. I don't want to miss any of that. I just don't. I want to say, God, when you created this day, you had a purpose, you had a will for me, and I want to fulfill that purpose. And so there needs to be an intentionality in our lives. Jesus lived his life on purpose for God's purpose, and we need to live the same way. On purpose for God's purpose. Why are you alive today? For the will of God, to do the will of God. Just like it's done in heaven. So there, when you're involved in discussions with other human beings, you might come to that place where they have perspective that you don't have. They have some experiences, some insight that you don't have, and you might refine your wisdom. But when it comes to the wisdom that God has, when it comes to the plan that He has, we need to accept this premise, and that is quite frankly this. His plan is perfect, and His will is perfect, and He is just looking for a people who say, God, I want your will to be done. If I can modify the Lord's Prayer just a little bit for our personal application, God, I want your will to be done in my life as it is in heaven, where I'm not debating you, I'm not putting it to a lower priority. I'm putting the will of God at the utmost priority in my life to do it. So Jesus brings that to our attention and says, "This is I'm coming so that you can see what life looks like when you embrace the will of God. It might have some unpleasantries that are associated with it. When he was dealing with the will of God in Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 42, he said, and again, a second time, he went away and prayed and saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And here he looked at the will of God. He understood the cost factor. He realized the extreme that it was, and he said, if there is another way, I'd like to take that way. But if this is the only way for men's sins to be forgiven, then let's roll. Let's go ahead. You see, when they came to arrest him, I don't believe that Jesus was looking for a way of escape. When it said, rise, let us go, here comes my betrayer. I believe he was like, I am ready to embrace the will of God. Many times we want resurrection power, but we don't understand that there's got to be something that dies for resurrection to take place. And many times that death factor that needs to come is the death of our will warring against God's will. And if we will allow God to say, you know what, if you are willing to give me something that is decaying, if you are willing to give me something that has limitations on it, if you are willing to give me the best that you have right now, he said, when you put it into my hands, I can make that something that is supernaturally even more effective. Now, when it comes to this this statement that Jesus says here in Matthew 26:42, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. I want you to recognize that Jesus then went to the cross, because that was the only way for people to be saved. There is no other way. It's the only way. If there was any other way, Jesus made it perfectly clear. He said, Father, I know that you always hear my prayer. And when you hear my prayer, I know that you have the answer that I need. And so when Jesus prayed, if there is any other way than me going to the cross, I'll take it. But there wasn't. So he took up his cross. That means that you and I, we cannot earn our salvation. We don't work to earn our salvation. We work because of our salvation. I can't be good enough to be saved. I was so hopelessly lost in sin that the only way that I could be redeemed was through the sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just want to communicate to you today how essential it is to embrace Jesus. I know Thanksgiving's already in the rearview mirror, but if you truly want something to be thankful for, thank God for the fact that Jesus embraced the will of the Father. He did the will of the Father. And because of that, our sins are cleansed, they're washed away, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you have never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I don't care how many church services you've been in. I don't care. John Wesley was a pastor. He was a minister. And he encountered some people of faith, and he came to the realization that even though he was in vocational ministry, he did not know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And their advice to him was, preach faith until you have faith. And he had his Aldersgate conversion after he had already had theological training. And as a result of that, he touched the world. He touched England. Him and his brother Charles, there was a mighty move of God because they didn't just go to church. They came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. God has no grandchildren. It's not just good enough to live in the neighborhood. A friend of mine from another state ran across an article that talked about a person who is the pastor of a church, and yet they are a declared atheist. They do not believe in God. I don't know about you, but I don't care how popular they are. I don't care how good they are for the church budget. There's not going to be any words of life flowing from the throne room of heaven through a messenger that doesn't believe the message or the person who would entrust the message to them. What you will get is a whole lot of humanism instead of a whole lot of truth and a whole lot of life. The only way to be saved is to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You could have the best holiday season you've ever had if you say, you know what, Jesus, I've been hanging around your house for a long time, but I want to meet the owner. I want to ask you to take up residence in my life and fill that void that I have and be the Lord of my life. Now, I want to take you back to Psalm 40, back to the Old Testament. This is an absolutely fascinating passage of scripture. It is a continuation of the thought that we just read in Hebrews chapter 10. It's going to sound very familiar, but it carry the next couple of verses enhance what we've already talked about. Verse number 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. So one of the things that happens when we come to God is we realize that what a privilege it is to be there to listen, to hear. God already knows everything that's going on in our life. He knows everything that's going on in our neighbor's lives. He knows everything that's going on physically, spiritually, mentally. He knows all of that. But when we come to worship, it is not just the expression of our lips, but it is the inclination of our ears, our heart, to listen. I posted something on Facebook. It was a link. Someone had posted it, and it showed up on my wall. And it was written on a whiteboard, and it said something along these lines: the problem that we have with communication, the biggest problem with communication, is that too many times we listen to respond rather than listening to understand. If I'm not careful as a pastor, too many times I can be listening for the next message that God has for me to deliver rather than listening so that I understand what God wants to say to me. You see, I don't want to be on here just talking about theory. I want to be out communicating what God has done in my life. There's a saying that says a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. I want to be experiencing God. I want you to experience God. And as we experience that life-changing presence of God, then all of a sudden, we're going to find it a lot easier to talk about. People love to talk about the great things that are going on in their life. What if testifying to our neighbors was simply communicating the latest and greatest thing that God has done in our life? So in a few weeks, I'm going to have an opportunity that I would have never dreamed I would have when I was growing up in Oklahoma. And the thing that I am going to be sharing when I go over there is not just a message, but it is going to be something that God has been challenging me in, and it's got a blessing, and I'm going to believe that it's going to touch a nation. So let me take you back. Then I said, behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. Now here's what it says in Psalms. In Hebrews it said, it is written of me, hyphen, to do your will, O God. This is what the Old Testament says: I delight to do your will, O my God. You see, Jesus didn't just come to do the will out of mindless obedience. He came to intentionally do it and to do it with joy. There are a lot of people that huff and puff and go around and do what they've got to do, but they don't have any joy with it. And you and I need to remember that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus embraced the joy that was set before him on the other side of the cross. That's why he took up the cross. So the challenge for you and I today is what's our, not just to do the will of God, but what is our attitude when we do that? Is it something that we've embraced? Is it something that we get to do with joy? And sometimes we can make another person's job easier by walking in obedience to the will of God. One of the men of the church, I'll never forget a sermon that he preached on a Wednesday night. And he was in Hebrews chapter 13. If it had come from the pastor, it would have seemed self-serving. But he got up there and he said, in Hebrews chapter 13, it talks about that we are supposed to live our lives in such a way that the pastors who watch over our souls get to do that with joy. And so that it's not burdensome.
to them. And so let me see if I can find that real quick. Not seeing it. I don't have it footnoted here in my Bible. But I remember, oh, I guess if I was in the right chapter, I might find it a little better. let's see. There it is. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So you and I, we have the great opportunity to embrace the will of God, to do it with joy. And when we do it with joy, when we embrace the will of God jubilantly, it's going to have benefit not just for us, but for others. Verse number 8 concludes this, and your law is within my heart. Too many people are looking at the will of God and they say, well, I know God says not to do this, but I believe that this is the will of God for me. And so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with joy. But the thing is, if we've got rebellion written on our heart, we're not going to be embracing the will of God. We would be embracing the will of our own selves. Like I've told you before, I believe the greatest listening distinction requires discerning between the voice of our spirit and the voice of God's spirit. And the best way to find ourselves in obedience, and here I am preaching to myself right now, here on the radio, not to fall for the same old tricks of the enemy that I've fallen for in the past, is, God, what does your word have to say about this situation? What does your word have to say about this situation? And have it written on my heart, so that every time my heart, if I can put it to you in a very simplistic way, every time my heart beats, the law of God pumps into my spirit. Every time my heart beats, it beats saying, God, I want to do your will, and I want to do it with joy. I want to do it the same way that Jesus did. I know that I don't have to go to the cross the way that he did, but I do know that I have to take up my cross daily. I don't want that to be a drudgery and something that we dread day after day after day. God, whatever it is you have for me today, I'm ready to run with the joy of the Lord and do the will of God, and watch the people that benefit from my joyful obedience. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right
here
on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Say that he is with our lives. Who do we say that he is?